who I brought born to. There is no other way to say this. Wick, my partner and lover both, was a drug dealer, and the drug he pushed was as terrible and beautiful and sad and sweet as life itself. The Beatles Wick altered or made from materials he'd stolen from the company didn't just teach when shoved in your ear. They could also rid you of memories and add memories. People who couldn't face the present shoved them into their ears so they could experience someone else's happier memories from long ago, from places that didn't exist anymore. The drug was the first thing Wick offered me when I met him, and the first thing I refused, sensing a trap even when it seemed like an escape. Within the explosion of mint or lime from putting the beetle in your ear would form marvelous visions of places I hoped did not exist. It would be too cruel, thinking that sanctuary might be real. Such an idea could make you stupid, careless. Only the stricken look on Wick's face in response to my revulsion at the idea made me stay, keep talking to him. I wish I had known the source of his discomfort then, and not so much later. I set the sea anemone on a rickety table between our chairs. We were sitting on one of the rotting balconies jutting out from a sheer rock face that had inspired me to name our refuge the Balcony Cliffs. The original name of the place on the rusted placard in the subterranean lobby was unreadable. Behind us lay the warren we lived in, and in front of us, way down below, veiled by a protective skein Wick had made to shield us from unwelcome eyes, the writhings of the poisonous river that ringed most of the city. A stew of heavy metals and oil and waste that generated a toxic mist, reminding us that we would likely die from cancer or worse. Beyond the river lay a wasteland of scrub. Nothing good or wholesome there, yet on rare occasions people still appeared out of that horizon. I had come out of that horizon. "What is this thing?" I asked Wick, who was taking a good long look at what I'd brought. The thing pulsed, as harmless and functional as a lamp. Yet one of the terrors the company had visited on the city in the past was to test its biotech on the streets. The city turned into a vast laboratory and now half destroyed, just like the company. Wick smiled the thin smile of a thin man, which looked more like a wince. With one arm on the table and left leg crossed over the right, in loose-fitting linen pants he'd found a week before and a white button-down shirt he'd worn so long it was yellowing, Wick looked almost relaxed. But I knew it was a pose, struck as much for the city's benefit as mine. Slashes in the pants, holes in the shirt, the details you tried to unsee that told a more accurate story.
"What isn't it? That's the first question," he said.
"Then what isn't it?" He shrugged, unwilling to commit. A wall sometimes formed between us when discussing fines, a guardedness I didn't like. "Should I come back at some other time, when you're feeling more talkative?" I asked. I'd grown less patient with him over time, which was unkind, as he needed my patience more now. The raw materials for his creations were running out, and he had other pressures. His rivals, in particular, the magician, who had taken over the entire western reaches of the city, encroached on his thoughts and territory, made demands on him now. His handsome face beneath wispy blonde hair, the lantern chin and high cheekbones, had begun to eat themselves the way a candle is eaten by flame.
"Can it fly?" he asked, finally.
"No," I said, smiling. "It has no wings," although we both knew that was no guarantee.